It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploring the word.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And listen to this. And forget not all his benefits. I pray that you'd remember how much God loves you today and how much he cares for you. He is a loving, caring God. This is Bert Harper along with Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you on Fire Away Friday. We always look forward to Fire Away Friday, don't we, Alex?
Oh, we sure do. I love it because we hear from so many people and they have so many good questions. And the number, by the way, if you've got a Bible question, now we've been in Exodus this week, but it could be a Bible question about most anything. And we'll do our best to give you a good answer, but it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Bert, you read that. Did you say that was Psalm 109?
103. I love that. And matter of fact, Alex, right after that, it gives you a list of a bunch of those benefits. He forgives, he crowns us, he redeems us. It is an awesome psalm. Go ahead, man.
Well, you know, in marketing, they talk about the benefits package.
Yeah.
But when you have Christ as your Savior, there's a benefits package unlike anything else. You know, in a similar vein, Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Here's the one I've been meditating all week long, Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds.
Amen. Amen.
You know, Bert, I got to tell you, to be intentionally grateful and really to think about how the Lord has blessed us. And, you know, I guess the most basic blessing, of course, salvation, but to have life. You know, there's not a one of us that had to exist, and yet God created us. And to everybody listening, I just want to say with all my heart, and this is God's word, this is absolute true reality, your life is significant, and your life matters, and Almighty God made you. God deemed that you would exist. And I don't know, sometimes people can say hurtful things, and we say things that beat each other down, but I want you to know God loves you, and you matter to Jesus, and the Lord thought it well to create you, and your life has significance. Bert, I think everybody needs to know that.
Amen. It is so true. Significance. It is, and you are one of those. If you've been born, you're significant. I want to tell you, you may not feel that way, but to God, you are significant. If he notices a sparrow, will he not notice you? If he noticed the number of hairs on our heads, will he not care for you? Listen, that's the God we serve. That number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. Lines are open. We've got a lot of lines open. Fire Away Friday, we'll take calls. We want to answer as many phone calls today as we can, but you've got to call in for us to answer one of your questions. So, Alex, are you ready to go to the phone lines?
Yes, and we've got some on email, too. And by the way, I haven't given this email in a while. I've been remiss. I should give this. But if you ever want to send a question in or a prayer request or just tell us, you know, how you feel about the show, word@afr.net, W-O-R-D, word@afr.net. And we truly do love to hear from each and every one of you. And one last thing, please keep Jim Stanley in prayer. Several weeks ago, you know, we were coming off of this conference down in Dallas, and he had, you know, some health issues and was actually in the hospital. And keep him in prayer. And he is back in Tupelo. But he texted me 2 or 3 days ago, and he said, please let everybody know how much I appreciate the prayers. But our dear brother and very, very major leader in the AFR radio world. We're still praying for the health and recovery of Brother Jim Stanley.
We are. I got to talk to him by phone this week, and it was a joy to talk with him. And he's one of the exploring the word colleagues. We call him a pinch hitter. We don't have substitutes. We have pinch hitters on Exploring the Word, and we appreciate Jim, and we're thankful that he is so much there. Pray for his wife, Colette. She's the one that's got to put up with him all the time now, and she got some relief when he is coming in. No, I'm joking, but we do appreciate Jim. Love him, and thank you for your prayers. Well, let's go to Emily in Mississippi. Emily, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Let me get you off my radio.
Oh, yeah. Turn that all of you that are listening, when you turn that radio off so we won't hear you two or three different times while you're talking.
Okay. Am I echoing?
No, you're fine. Go right ahead. Go ahead. You're good.
My granddaughters and my great-granddaughters all talk to me about karma. And I tried to tell them that I've always understood that came from a Middle East somebody that would have a Buddha or something like that. And I said, karma is not karma. It's not anything. It's the one that deals with you is the Holy Spirit. And if you believe it in karma, you believe it in the wrong thing. And you find this one definition or whatever the Bible says.
Well, Emily, you're right to warn her. I know words, Alex, words mean things, but sometimes the words might mean something, but people use them in a different way to cause them to be used, like the word gay, that word. I grew up, hey, that was people's names, you know, and so I still have a difficult time with that. I have to admit that. And but karma, we hear that used a lot when it was like she said, Middle Eastern. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, well, let me say this. In Hinduism and Buddhism, karma is a word. It's a Sanskrit word, and it really means fate. The principle is that in this life, there is not only good results from your good actions and bad results from your bad actions, but there's also the accumulation of all of this past lives. So karma, first of all, there is no such thing as karma. It's a pagan philosophy from a pagan religion. Now, the truth is that God exists and Jesus is his son and Christ is the one and only Savior. Now, I will say this, that the Bible is very clear that the way of the transgressor is hard. I mean, if you sin and defy God your whole life, there's bad results from that. But this is absolutely not the same as the Hindu idea of reincarnation. The Bible is clear also, Bert. Let me just say this. In Hebrews 9:22. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, in Eastern philosophy, like Hinduism and Buddhism, you come back. And now, hang with me, folks. This is worth talking about. Years ago, the rock star Madonna talked about how in past lives, she believed she was Marie Antoinette and, you know, Queen Victoria. But in actual Hinduism, reincarnation is hell. See, they want to not come back and dissolve in the big cosmic pond of nothingness. Now, in Christianity, you are you eternally. And that's why Jesus wants you to be a redeemed and restored you. But in Hinduism and Buddhism, you ultimately cease to exist. See, Bert, the Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants you to be obliterated. And the last thing I'll say, in Christianity, God says, I love you, but you've sinned. Turn to Jesus, I'll forgive you. in karma, you don't know what you did in your past life. There is no way to resolve it. Bert, isn't that terrible? All this thing about karma and the whole universe is against you because of stuff you did 1,000 lives ago.
Yep.
There's no answer to it. Why anybody would want to believe in the hopelessness of karma? Well, they just need to know about the joy of true salvation in the one who rose from the dead, Jesus.
Yep. A lot of people who are using that, they have an earthly idea of the origination, the meaning of it. They're just, you know, things are bad. Karma's not, you know, it's not good. Listen, Emily, thank you for that, and I pray you'll help your granddaughter understand that. And thank you for calling. Let's go to Arkansas. Jeremy, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Doing well.
I kind of have a comment on that same token y'all were just speaking about. I think the Bible also says clearly that we reap what we sow, and I think that's a little more biblical than karma, for sure. If you're so going around sowing bad seed, you're going to reap it.
That's true. So, amen. Hey, I want to sow to the Spirit, and that way you reap the things of the Spirit. But go ahead, Jeremy. Good
amen.
Talk. Go ahead.
Amen. So last Friday, a lady called in asking about the story of when Jesus cast a demon out of that man, or the demons that went into the pigs, and she said she couldn't understand why they would, how would they benefit from going into the pigs? Well, I think the answer is Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and those pigs were worth of value to the people of that town, and so they just did one last ditch thing to destroy their income by killing all those pigs, and it caused issues where the town didn't want Jesus to even come into the city. Do you remember that part?
Yeah, that is so true. Alex, when you hear that and you hear that story, it is one of the most, and we were talking about it, but if I see that on the map and where it was probably mm-hmm. in a Jewish community, should those pigs even have been there, you know, normally, you know? So it was a, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, why would Jewish people be raising pigs and making money off of pork, which if they were observant to the law of Moses, that's an unclean animal that they really had no business, trading in anyway. By the way, I have to tell you, when we were in Israel a few years ago, there in Jerusalem, I mean, within the walls of the old city was a barbecue restaurant. And I just thought that was the most curious thing, Bert.
Yeah.
And I love barbecue. But yeah, the caller is right. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And but, you know, the people wanted Jesus to go, and they had lost money. The pigs ran off a cliff and drowned in the water. The demons caused that. But, observant Jewish people, they didn't need to have a pork industry in their community anyway, did they?
They did not. When I was there, I couldn't resist it. I went to a restaurant, we did, and they had a menu we could order, and they had pork chops. And my wife, Jan, knew Bert would, try to go against the tide, so I ordered a pork chop. I would not, they don't know how to cook them, so I didn't, I wouldn't have got it if I'd have tried. But anyway, our time is close to running out in this segment. That number, and we do have room for you, and we're going to get to calls, is 888-589-8840. We got Randy and Olin and Jackie online. We're going to get to your questions. Add your name to that list, and we'll be back right after the break. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles.
If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
And the enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, "You are mine." Oh, the enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, "You are mine." The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, "You are mine."
Amen. What a great reality if you're a Christian. The enemy might have thought that he had you, but Jesus said, "You're mine." Well, welcome back to Exploring the Word, Fire Away Friday. Alex and Bert here, so honored to hear from you. The number, if you've got a Bible question, it's 888-589-8840. Hey, Bert, I have a question for you. What happens in 22 days?
I believe it's Easter. Am I right? You asked me that earlier, and it was 26, and I missed it. I'm not going to miss it a second time, Alex. How about Resurrection Sunday? Hallelujah.
That's what I was going to say. Resurrection Sunday. And, you know, I know I've kind of said that several times as the days go by, but I just think about it. Only Jesus rose from the dead. And he says, if you live and believe in me, you too will conquer your grave.
Hallelujah.
And not only that, there's a great reunion day coming, isn't there?
There really is. And you want to be ready. He's gone to prepare a place, but the Bible says he's coming again. And when he's got it ready, he's going to take us to it. Either some, and again, these words come to me. Some preacher said, by the upper taker or the undertaker, I'm going to that prepared place he has for us either way. So Amen. Be ready for his coming. Well, we've got people on the line, and as you said, that number is 888-589-8840. We do have lines that are open, and we'll try to get to them as quickly as we can. Let's go to Mississippi. Randy, thank you for calling today.
We've got people on the
line. Randy, are you there? Randy, be sure and turn your radio off. There, brother. Okay, we're not getting through to Randy, guys. So, okay, let's go to Texas and talk to Olin. Olin, thank you for calling.
Yes, well, I've got more of a problem, and I need some verses of the Bible because I suffer with general anxiety disorder. It's a mental illness. And so often times I use that excuse. I don't spend enough time in my quiet time to pray to the Lord. And I'm a good Christian at the house, but if you see me in public, you couldn't tell I was a Christian. And that's really bothered me. I feel like sometimes I get home that I was ashamed of Jesus, and I'm not, but you can't tell it.
Okay, and, Olin. Hey, brother. Listen, we're going to pray for you, and there's two or three things that come to my mind, Alex, and you might add to it. And again, Olin, this Bible verse says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Now, I know most of the time we think of that as some outward horrible sin come out. But Alex, you know, lately, you know what I've been thinking? Don't think the way the world thinks. You know, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ, Olin, is so important. And where do you get that? Two ways. Let me put three. One is scriptures. Let the scriptures. And if you're having trouble, man, just start reading the Psalms, start reading in the Gospel of John. And the other thing is, I would say when you do that, spend time in church with believers. And then the third thing, Alex, and I know I add this a lot, find a ministry of servants. I don't care what it's visiting the those that are shut in, visiting whatever you can and be a part of it. I want to just tell you, Jesus came not to what? Serve, to be served, but to what? serve. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we better develop that, hadn't we?
Well, we really should. And, you know, first of all, I feel privileged that you would listen to our show and appreciate you calling in, sir. And, you know, there's a lot we could say, but the Bible tells us, I think about like in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And that implies not only self-control, but it also implies that he really does renew our mind. Romans 12 talks about that. And he gives us a clear head, doesn't he, Bert?
He really does. And he will, Olin. Father, we want to pray for Olin. I pray that he would have clarity. And one of the things that Satan tries to rob us from is our identity in you, that we've been bought with a price, therefore we're to glorify God. The reason he wants to do that is he wants us to deny who we are, therefore we're not glorifying the Lord. So I pray you'd help Nolan in that. We're asking you to do that. Thank you for him listening. I pray that exploring the Word would minister to him as we share from the Word of God, and it would dwell in him richly. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Olin. By the way, that number and lines are open is 888-589-8840. If you got a Bible question, we'd love to hear it today. Let's go back to Texas and talk to Jackie. Jackie, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Hey, I love what you guys do. I listen to you every time I can. Thank you so much. I'm a little regressing here. I called trying to talk when the lady was talking about the karma.
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe that the Word tells us that you reap what you sow, and karma is just the fact that the Lord said, vengeance is mine, and sooner or later, you're going to reap what you sow, and it's going to come back to you. And that's usually the way that these folks speak of karma, is you're going to reap something bad because you've been doing bad. You know, you might also read something good because you've been doing good. Let's see which way you want to get on.
Hey, Jackie, that's exactly what we were talking about. It's talking about sowing to the flesh. You of the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, Alex, that's kind of the choices we have, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And let me say, beliefs and behavior have results and outcomes, but it's not karma, because in the Eastern religions, Hinduism and Buddhism, I mean, it's this impersonal force in the universe, and really, in a way, we become our own savior by sowing good karma, if you will. That's not biblical, and so, you know, I want to be clear that karma, as Hinduism and Buddhism teach it, does not exist. However, the Bible is clear. If you sin, there are negative outcomes. If you give your life to Jesus, you become born again. The Spirit indwells you. You follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. There's blessing. So, Bert, karma is. It's just not the accurate story. However, like Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that also will he reap. If you want corn, you got to plant corn. You know, and if you want the blessing of God, you need to be born again and live righteously.
Amen. And Jackie, you're right on. Let's stay with God. Walk with him. That's the whole idea. The Bible says, walk with him. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Let's agree with God and go with God. Thank you, Jackie. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Lee. Lee, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you all for the show. I just wanted to call and ask you guys to kind of give your opinion on yoga and the practices and the reason why it's so prevailing in our society these days. It seems like it's infiltrated children's shows. It's in a lot of PE class curriculums in public schools and even Christian schools, which is, in my opinion, not acceptable, especially the Christian schools. But in public schools, you know, they're always against Christians living out their faith in prayer in school. You see instances like that where we're constantly under attack in those senses, but yoga comes from an Eastern religion and it's a religious practice, but yet no one is saying anything about it. And, you know, the Bible speaks to the Holy Spirit dwelling within you and treating your body as a temple to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I just want to encourage other parents out there who may be teaching their children that yoga is not acceptable. It's going to be hard. They're going to have to make a stand for Christ and choose to not participate in those things. But if you raise your children in the way of the Lord, you know, they shall not depart from it. But I do have to praise my daughter, my oldest one. She took a stand at one point in PE and said that she was not going to participate in yoga because we don't believe in doing that. And sat on the sides and you know, did her own thing while the rest of the class did it.
Amen, Lee. Let me make two comments real quickly, Alex. We're living in a world, by and large, even though we're having some evidence of the society knowing they need God, not all of them, Generation Z, we're seeing Gen Zs, we're seeing that a lot of them turning and buying more Bibles and even attending church more. We're seeing that, and I praise God for that. But for so long, it was anything but God. The other thing about karma, and I would say yoga, they think it's cool. Now, I know that's an old 60s and 70s term, cool, man, it's cool. But they think it's neat, and they want to go that way. Alex, you know what I'm talking about? It's popular right now to do so.
Yeah, well, you know, Billy Graham used to say courage is contagious. And I would say, you know, Elmer Towns talks about revival being contagious. Now, it's great when somebody is bold and you're standing up for Christ, even if you stand alone. But as, you know, people are buying Bibles, it's okay to talk about God. You know, everywhere I go, Bert, and this is wonderful, I'll hear people at the grocery store and they'll say, "How are you doing?" "Well, I'm blessed." Yeah. Well, that's great. You know, I'm glad that speaking of the Lord and Jesus and the Christian faith is catching on. That's really good. That's good. I want to speak, if I could, to the caller's question about yoga. Now, look, I love exercise, and it feels good to exercise. And if you're talking about having a workout or stretching, or Bert, I haven't heard this word in years, calisthenics. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Listen, I'm all about work hard, exercise, try to, you know, fight off aging and work hard. Get out there and do yard work, go to the gym. That's great. But I want to say in the strongest possible terms, yoga is not a Christian practice. And I don't think you can sanctify yoga. And I'll tell you why. In Hinduism, the word yoga means union. Now, united with what? Well, united with Brahman. Okay, now here's the thing. You've heard of Brahma bulls. Well, those are bulls from India. And but the idea of Brahman is ultimate reality. Now, this is not the God of the Bible. The God of Hinduism is this great cosmic nothingness. And you, in the Hindu worldview, you are part of God. Now, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but if your personality, your soul gets separated from God with stress and stuff, and that's called Atman, A-T-M-A-N. Now, in yoga, by stretching and meditating and centering, you become united again with Brahman, which is ultimate reality. Bert, this is pagan. It is, because the purpose of life, physical considerations aside for a moment, let's talk spiritual. Your purpose, your calling in life is to be saved through Jesus, to be forgiven. So should churches have exercise programs? Absolutely. That's great. I got no problem with workouts, lifting weights, stretching, exercising. I think it's great. Bert, when I was a youth pastor at Friendly Avenue Baptist, I mean, we had a big gym. And there was a women's workout thing. All these ladies would get together and work out and, you know, strive for fitness, and it was a great outreach and that. But for goodness sakes, please don't try to mesh a Christian program with Hinduism. The Christian yoga, quote unquote, I know people innocently might pursue something like that, but it's two absolutely incompatible things.
If they do and do it ignorant, you're still opening up doors. Yeah. Listen, that door doesn't need to even be cracked. It needs to stay shut. Don't go there. Thank you, Lee. Let's get another question in this segment, and it's Ellis from Mississippi. Ellis, thank you for calling.
Hey.
Yeah, go right ahead. Yes.
Hey, look, I was wondering a question. Our preacher preached something the other day, and he was talking about in Acts 7:56 when Stephen was being stoned, that he looked up and he saw Jesus stand up on the right hand of God. In other words, and I was wondering, did he, how he did, because he was being stoned, did he holler it out? Or me and my wife was talking about, we was wondering how he got it known what he had seen, in other words.
Okay. When you read that, and we're going to have to take this over, I think, a little bit into the next segment, but it is saying he was being stoned, but look at verse 55, Ellis, and it'll help. He, talking about Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Again, he gazed. God gave him a vision, a clarity. And Alex, I'll put it this way. I've been at the time of people dying, believers dying, and I've been there when they saw things beyond what was in the room around them. Angels, God waiting on them. I think God gave him a preview of what was going on. And so is it all right for you to weigh on this and talk about it on the other side of the break, Alex?
Absolutely, folks. Exploring the Word, we've got a break. We'll take more questions after this. Don't go away.
In Denver, Colorado, Jamie Sanchez obeyed the Lord's call and opened the Drip Cafe to create jobs to help unhoused people get back on their feet. Of course, the LGBTQ community began persecuting him for his Christian beliefs. His inspiring story of standing boldly for God's truth in the face of great opposition is part of our Impact Series, and we'll send you the DVD as our thanks for your gift to AFA. Visit afa.net/spiritualwar. afa.net/spiritualwar.
This Sanctity of Life Month, we honor the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at even greater risk now. But in the midst of this darkness, there is a light that shines, and that's Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics have rescued over 300,000 babies from abortion and have prayed with over 80,000 women to come to Christ.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. This is Bert Harper asking you to join Preborn in protecting life. One ultrasound session costs $28. And $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help. $100, $200, $1,000. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex here. And, man, we got guys in the studio. Brent is here. Marty's here. And Richard is here. Sometimes Richard and Will, they take care of the call screening, so you get to talk with them. But let me just say, I'll have to give them a shout-out because we couldn't do this program without them. And, Alex, you know, it's kind of like the body. The unseen things in a body seem to be the most important. Let me see. The brain, the heart, the lungs. Don't ever see them, yeah. Or at least you sure don't want to see them. I'll put it that way. And here at AFR, that's how I feel about it. Man, those guys that's behind the scenes that keeps everything going, we thank God for them, don't we?
Well, we really do. And it's a team effort. I'll tell you that. And we're thankful for all the people. And I want to say how much we appreciate the listeners too, Bert.
Amen.
Just, everywhere I go, so many wonderful people talk about exploring the Word, and we give God the glory. And hey, if it wasn't for the Bible, God's holy Word, the Bible, we wouldn't even have a show. But hey, before we resume, I want to say a word about Luke and Acts. But this Sunday, I'm going to be, good Lord willing, I'll be in Oklahoma, Edmond, Oklahoma, with Pastor Paul Blair at Liberty Church. And if you happen to be in that area, come out. I'm doing two services Sunday morning. We're going to be talking about apologetics and sharing the gospel and answering the questions of skeptics and people with doubts. And so it's not far from Oklahoma City. And then, Bert, also, we've got a speaker series, and I had two pastor leader luncheons this week. I had mentioned it, and so many people came out from the region around Conway and Wilmington and Myrtle Beach and all that, and it was great. Got to talk about the radio show, talk about conversations that matter. Dinesh D'Souza is our first speaker. We're having Gary Chapman. Bert, did you ever read The Five Love Languages?
Oh, listen, yes, I do. And I got to talk to Dr. Chapman, and I told him when Jan and I started doing our marital conferences and retreats, I said, I hadn't found anything better than The Five Love Languages. I said, I'll give you credit every time we bring it up, but is it all right if we use that? And he said, use it all the you want to, because listen, Alex, I believe it's one of the best helps for a couple that I've ever had opportunity to read.
Amen.
So okay.
Would, folks, keep us in prayer. We've got a lot going on.
I don't know, Alex, volume went down.
There you go. There we go. But before the break, a caller asked about the stoning of Stephen and how they would have known. I'm going to say this. In Luke 1:3, Luke, who wrote Acts, he said he had perfect understanding from above. And so, among other things, I think it was the Holy Spirit telling him what to put in the book of Acts, which included Stephen's vision of Jesus, even as he was being martyred.
Well, when you read Luke, and it tells you about he checked, and he did it in the book of Acts, in the book of Luke, he was a historian. He was a physician, but he was a great historian. So, and it tells about doing the research, talking to witnesses who were there. So with all my heart, I think it was not just the Holy Spirit. I believe that there was somebody that was there and shared that with him, and the Holy Spirit filled in the blanks. And God has it for us. So, Ellis, God was able. He really is. Well, let's go to Oklahoma. You're talking about Oklahoma. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Matt. Matt, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. What's your question, brother?
Reading Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25 and 8:1, I'm kind of just now getting into apologetics myself. And the thought came to me that it almost sounds like Paul's kind of preaching Gnosticism. I know he's not, but as an apologist, how would you address that if someone came to you with that question?
Okay, Alex, go ahead with that.
Well, you know, Gnosticism, G-N-O-S-T-I-C, Gnostic, it really means hidden knowledge. And I would say this, here's a couple of words. Christianity is not a subtext or hidden, but it's very clear and out front. That's why you've heard people talk about exegetical preaching, not eisegetical, E-I-S, where we project our meaning in, but exegetical, we bring the meaning out. So it's very clear. Sin separates us from God. Christ paid for our sins on the cross. We repent. We believe. The Spirit of God regenerates us. I know there's a lot to it, but Romans 8:1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I will say this. Paul in Romans 7, he's talking about the sin nature. He says, like in verses 15 and 16, what I don't want to do, I do, and what I know I should do, I don't. Why? Because there is this carnal nature. And it's not this mysterious, hidden thing that we don't understand. At Gnosticism, in Gnostic thought, I'll put it this way. I've heard people at colleges, they'll say, well, it's not the destination, it's the journey. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want to say I've ever definitely learned something. It's this spiritualism that's the point. No, it isn't. Bert, I think Jesus said it, the truth will set you free. That's John 8:32. And Christianity is about truth claims that are proven true. Christ is the Son of God. That is truth. While we get saved by putting our faith in Jesus, that doesn't mean the old flesh doesn't give up without a fight. And Bert, you know what? I'm going to say this. I'm going to throw it to you. There have been times that I would like promise myself, you know, I will not get mad at the TV when I'm watching crazy politics. And yet, I do sometimes.
You hadn't thrown your shoe at it yet, right?
No, I don't throw anything. But, you know, here's the thing. The only way we can mortify the flesh, as Paul said, do, is to feed the Spirit. Amen. and follow the Holy Spirit.
And that's been kind of the theme of this Fire Away Friday, if you want to know the truth. Walk in the Spirit. Now, let me share this with you. Listen to this, Matt. We were first single-natured. We're lost. We have one nature. It's a sinful nature. Once we are born again, we become dual-natured. The old nature is there. We're to crucify the old nature. Paul called it the old man. Put it away. We have a new man, and you feed the new man. After death, we become single-natured again. But it's not the selfish, carnal nature. It's that nature we have when sin has not just been forgiven, but sin has been eradicated from our lives and we're with God. So, Alex, we go from single-naturedness to dual-natured, back to single nature, but a different single nature. And mm-hmm. that dual nature, as long as we're breathing, guess what, Alex? It's got to be dealt with. And yeah. That's the whole idea. It's not Gnosticism, but it is letting Christ be Christ in our lives as the indwelling Holy Spirit takes control. Matt, Amen. Thank you. Brother, and keep it up and keep studying apologetics. You got a great guy here to learn from, and that's Alex McFarland. So let's go to Texas and talk to Harold. Harold, thank you for calling.
I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
Yes, sir, brother.
Well, simply put, my question is, when y'all were talking earlier about yoga and stuff like that, and when you're looking around for a church, there's so many churches out there that, you know, you love the human, you love the person, but you hate the sin. Yet these churches, it's like when they open their doors to the person, for some reason, they're also opening their doors to the sin. And they're letting the sin come in and corrupt some of these churches. I'm simply trying to find a good Bible-based, in-context church. And how do I find that in a day and age where it seems like a lot of these churches are cracking the door for a lot of sin to come in?
Harold, thank you for it. Alex, what's that website? We've asked it before, and I have a hard time remembering it. Finding a church, a good, strong church.
Yeah, we had them on the radio before, My Church Finder. Now, I want to say this, whenever we mention websites outside of AFR.net, we're not saying that we vouch for everything they say or do, because we can't know everything they say or do. But the one, My Church Finder, we interviewed them, and they... You know, the Bible is God's word. The Bible is the authority. Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior. I think the matrix by which they evaluate good churches all over America is pretty good. So, you know, to find a biblically sound home church, mychurchfinder.org. But again, you know, they're not a ministry of AFA, so I can't necessarily say we endorse everything that they endorse, because I don't know. But in general, I feel like they're pretty good.
That's the other day. We've got that, and here we've got an email telling us about that, that is a source. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that we believe everything we do, but we get that question so much here at AFR, not only our program but others, and we have found this a source that we go to. Again, you said it, Alex, you didn't qualify, hey, everything they do, but it is a place to start, you know? Mm-hmm. In other words, if I find that and I visit that church, there is a good opportunity for you to do that. Let me say this, Harold. Listen, when I hear this, and Alex, I want you to comment on this as well. I hear folks say, man, I'm looking for a New Testament church. And I've got this kind of quirky thing, and I am, and I can be a little sarcastic and know that. And I'll say, which one, Corinth or Philippi? You know? And listen, in the early church, look what happened in with Ananias and Sapphira. That was the early church. Look what happened.
Hey, the Laodicean church was a, quote, New Testament church too, wasn't it?
It sure was. And I just say that, folks, and you may not find that church that you can say, oh, man, it is the perfect church for me. But if they preach the Word of God, and I know what Harold is talking about, and I understand that, but I want to tell you, finding a group of believers that love the Lord Jesus Christ, go by His Word, and you may not dot every I and cross every T that church does, but I just want to tell you, Jesus, guess what He did? The temple had corruptness, but He still paid the temple tax, you know, quote. And there's a time where you got to come out from among them, and I understand that, and I know that. But at the same time, Alex, there are some things worth fighting for to be a part of a fellowship like that. Do you agree with what I said?
Absolutely. Okay. Bert, do I have time to mention two book titles?
I think you need to. Go ahead, man.
You know, John Wesley said, those who read, lead. So I'm always mentioning books. Two books that are really worth checking out, folks. I've read them both. One, Woke Jesus, The False Messiah Destroying Christianity, by an author named Lucas Miles. And I interviewed him on the Hamilton Corner probably a year ago. Woke Jesus. The other is a book that came out 1 month ago. I've read it. In fact, couldn't put it down. It's a book called Stockholm Syndrome Christianity. Yeah. Now, you'll remember back in the 70s, there was some terrorists that took hostages from Stockholm, Sweden. And Stockholm Syndrome is going along to get along. But both of these books are kind of a wake-up call about how wokeness even has influenced some churches, not all. And so we want to be Christians with a biblical worldview. That's why Bert and I would say it. Fill your mind, fill your heart, live your life in step with God's Word.
Amen.
I mean, that's what we have to do.
We really do. And Harold, we appreciate that call. We hope we've helped. And we're going to pray for you. Find a church where you can be at home. And Jesus Christ is Lord and you're on mission for God. Do that. Let's go to Alabama to Michael for our last call of the day. Michael, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I've always led to believe that when we die, we go straight to heaven to be with the Lord. But recently I've heard sermons that said, no, we're dead in Christ until the rapture. So that means all the saints like Daniel and, well, John and all them, have they been asleep in Jesus for like 3,000 years?
Okay, Michael, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, my body's not there. There's this, we're waiting on the rapture for our new body, Alex, or the saints are, but we're still present with the Lord, even though the body may be remained down here. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And there's this, you know, assumption that, you know, the body is buried after somebody dies and the soul kind of is hibernating till the final judgment. But Bert, I think about this. In Matthew 17, when Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, there was Moses and Elijah. You know, they weren't sleeping till the judgment day. No, I think that when the believer dies, instantaneously, 1 second later, they're in the presence of Christ the Savior. So soul sleep for centuries till the rapture, it's not biblical.
It is not. And the main thing you want to look at, everyone listening, make sure you're right with God. Know Christ is Savior. He went, he came, lived that perfect life, went to the cross, became the perfect sacrifice, rose again. We're coming on that. It's called Resurrection Sunday, Easter, overcoming sin and death. And when he comes into our life, Alex, he changes everything, doesn't he?
He really does. Jesus changes everything. And when Jesus comes into lives, it will change the family, the home, the culture, the community. Hey, be in church on Sunday. Be in the house of God. Tell somebody about AFR, but tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.